the week, and we're going to talk about food, food, and more food. Hello, Gail.
Hello. Summertime.
Oh, when the living is easy.
That's us. That's us. And that's why we're moving on to a lovely, beautiful, hot glazed red coleslaw.
Mm-mm.
And I just thought we need to start sort of putting some of those type of dishes in as we go along. So this one should be really, really nice to serve. Straight away, I might add. So we're going to start off with 1 tablespoon of oil, 30 grams of butter, 1 small onion chopped, 1/2 red cabbage shredded, 1/2 cup of port, 1/2 cup of fruit chutney, 1/4 cup of dry white wine, and 1/4 cup of brown sugar. Now we're heating the oil and butter in a large pan. Add the onion, cook, stirring until the onion is just soft. Add the cabbage, cook, stirring a few minutes or until the cabbage is just wilted. Stir in the combined port, which is interesting, chutney, wine and port, so there you are, throw in some wine, and sugar, bring to the boil, reduce heat and simmer for 20 minutes uncovered or until the liquid is reduced and the cabbage is glazed. Now serve immediately, but you might think, oh, she said cook the cabbage for 20 minutes, but red cabbage is not like white cabbage. Red cabbage, had it frequently. I used to have it quite often, at least once a week. And stir-frying red cabbage, it needs to be stir-fried for quite a while.
Okay.
Because for some reason, red cabbage does take you a lot longer to cook than just sautéing a white cabbage.
Okay.
And I think with that glaze or whatever it is, all that beautiful ingredients will absorb that. And by then, that slaw should be just absolutely beautiful. But probably need to serve it immediately. I don't know what it'll be like cold, but I can't imagine it being much different, to be quite honest. So it just sounds really, really great. And just like one other dish, I think we had to throw in a bit of alcohol, and it came out all right. And so this, you've got port and white wine, so beautiful.
Yeah, I think it was rice that you, it was some sort of rice with fruit. I remember you threw some alcohol in there as well.
The fruity brown rice.
It was rum.
That's right, it was. Yeah, we did.
I did it without the rum, and it was beautiful. We've both done the rice.
Oh, you've
done it. I didn't have any rum. Yeah, and it was, gosh, it was good.
Oh, great.
And it'd be really nice with that coleslaw. Actually, rice and coleslaw.
Mm. Oh, so you actually went and made that
fruity.
Oh, I did. Oh, good on you, Catherine.
Yeah, I'll be doing that again. That was beautiful.
It was really nice, yeah. So you didn't go into the pub and just say, can I just have a shot of rum for my fruity brown rice salad?
Pub's way too far away from where I live.
Okay.
So, no rum.
Anyway, that's our first recipe for the day.
Love it.
Now, I'm just going to move on because I sort of think it's dip time too as well.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we sort of like to have a bit of dip when we've got friends around. And this one was really, really easy, and I thought I needed to give it to you. It's the feta and capsicum dip. And honestly, you can make this in 5 minutes, apart from the roasting, of course, of the pepper. But we've got 1 cup of light cottage cheese, 100 grams of feta crumbled, 1 red capsicum, and black pepper. Now, you're preheating the oven to 200 degrees Celsius. Place the capsicum in the oven and roast until soft, and which is about 20 minutes. So remove from the oven, cool, of course, then remove the skin and the seeds. What you can do then is combine the cottage cheese, the feta and the capsicum in a blender, because we've got the good old stick one, I love it, and or a food processor, and blend until smooth and season with a good dollop of pepper. Absolutely beautiful. Now, I noticed in the supermarket, Catherine, and I'm going to tell you and the listeners this.
Yes.
I've got a recipe at home for homemade crackers, you know, the special type crackers,
okay.
Really good healthy ones.
Yeah.
And anyway, I haven't made them because it seems like a lot of fuss. But looking at the supermarket the other day, I saw in the ready to cook cake section these crackers, which almost the same as the ones that I would make from scratch.
Yeah.
And they're in a packet with all the ingredients in. And I can't remember what you had to add, probably a bit of oil or something like that. But I'm going to, I grabbed one and looked at it and I thought, I don't need that at the moment. So it's sort of superfluous to my requirements when I'm doing my shopping. But I noticed it and it's definitely going to be a go-to for me.
Ah,
and make these crackers. Yeah, and give it a go. So I might do it before next session and tell the listeners, you know, I mean, it's against the grain, I suppose, but go lovely with this dip.
It would go good with the dip.
Yeah, go really good with the dip. But it was just sort of, I'll just mention it.
Mm.
Yeah, just mention it because lovely seeded ones.
I see.
Beautiful. Yeah. Mm. Yes. Yeah, so just a thought. I know you don't make it, but, you know, we don't sort of make everything here on this program, you know, sort of like
tips
we can
as
cheat,
well.
Cheat a little bit.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Tiny bit of assistance in the kitchen.
Exactly, exactly. So now, and I also thought, because I again made that fruit cake, which is, you know, went
again.
Viral. Well, I did, because I made it for a friend whose her husband's not that well. And anyway, she's dairy and gluten-free. So I thought, oh, they've just come back from Palmerston North. What can I do? I'm going to make that fruit cake again. So I did and took it up to them. And she texted me later in the day and said, oh, I've had a piece of that fruit cake. It's beautiful and I'm not sharing it.
Oh.
Yeah. So there you are, listeners. That's a hit on the show.
It is a big hit.
A big one.
Yep.
So I was thinking about that when I saw this, and there was there's some easy ways to make food gluten-free. And I thought, well, maybe we just need a few of these little hints.
Yeah.
And I'm going to point them out to you. Now, one thing I do want to say, some time ago I brought a special baking powder, which was gluten-free. I bought it from, I don't know, some shop. But I purposely looked yesterday at the baking powder on the shelf, and all baking powder is gluten-free.
Oh.
Yeah. So
that's
there
a
you
trick,
are.
Isn't it, for marketing purposes?
It is. Yeah, it is. So all your gluten-free baking powder is there on the shelf. So, but I have got it and I'm using it. But now that I definitely know that it's gluten-free, you know, we won't be bothered about that. So this is your making your own gluten-free plain flour. So I want you to think about this when you haven't, you know, got maybe all the things in the pantry. So you're blending 2 parts of rice flour, 1 part of maize flour, 1 part of soya flour, and to make it self-raising by adding 2 teaspoons of gluten-free baking powder. And that's why I initially looked at the shelf, because I thought to myself, I just want the listeners to know that you don't, gluten-free baking powder is commercial, you know, it's there on the shelf. So this here, this is something that you can stick with. But like I said to Catherine, you know, I made up my own before looking at this and just did rice flour, you know, chickpea flour, gluten-free self-raising flour, almond meal. You can actually do your own, you know, just dream it up. As long as you've got the right quantities.
Yeah.
Okay. But this was just what I saw, so I thought, people, this is very basic, so you might just want to use it. So that's one of our little hints today. In baking recipes, use, I'm not sure how to pronounce this, but I think it's, there's guar gum, and this one is xanthan. I'm not sure whether that's how you pronounce it, but it's another type of gum. And it's, I might have to look that up. I meant to look it up before I came to the studio. But this gum, and I have got guar gum in my pantry, and it does improve elasticity and the crumb structure of baked goods. Now, all you need to do is use about 1 teaspoon of this gum in each recipe. And apparently it's good for the quality of the product.
Okay.
Yeah. And I'm sorry, I can't pronounce, I'm not sure, X-A-N-T-H-A-N. I'm not sure.
I'm not sure either. Is it xanthan?
Xanthan. I think it might be xanthan because that X is a silent one. So I think it is. So I meant to look at that. So sorry about that, listeners. But that's all guar gum that you can use. 1 teaspoon if you're making, you know, something for good quality baking. Now that's number 2. And the other one, this one, and I know that I did it with the brown rice that I had left over, but this is using white rice. And you're mixing together 3 cups of cooked white rice and 1 beaten raw egg, obviously, in a bowl, and a grind of salt and pepper, and then press into a flan dish and use as a base for quiches instead of pastry. Now, I don't know, but I would be inclined to maybe throw in a tablespoon of rice flour just to sort of glue it together. I don't know, but maybe it's enough with the egg and the rice because, you know, it's so starchy. But The leftover rice that I had with the fruity brown rice, I did actually make a base with it. And I did add an egg and I added some rice flour to it. And it actually turned out quite good. So you could use that as a base as a pizza as well. And that's exactly what I did. I, you know, flattened it out. I had floured hands, I might add, because, you know, I needed to pat it out onto the pizza plate. And then just put my normal topping, you know, tomato paste, you know, onion, bit of cheese, tomato, whatever. And it actually came out really, really well. So you still can have a pizza with a gluten-free base
using rice.
Exactly.
Not heard of that, girl. That's a really good tip.
Yeah. So that's just, you know, three little tips that I saw there and I thought you might be interested in that.
Yeah, nice.
Today.
Yeah. Very good. Well, you mentioned hot glazed sweet red coleslaw at the beginning. So I thought I would grab a song that had hot in it.
Oh, hot, hot, hot.
No, I've decided on Billy Idol, Hot in the City.
Oh, okay.
So right here up. It is.
Yes, know that one.
Tonight.
Once again, listeners, I've had to turn down Gail's microphone, thank goodness, because she was singing away.
Great number.
Good number, Billy Idol.
Yeah, haven't heard from him for a while.
I know, actually. Yeah. Haven't been playing that live on the radio. I'm going to have to do that.
Yes. Bring back the oldies.
Yeah. No, well, I play plenty of oldies, just not Billy Idol.
Oh, right, okay. Yeah. Oh, well, that's a good reminder today.
Yeah, thanks for that, Gail. Okay. Good song.
Right, now we're going to start. Well, we're going to start off with this chicken meatloaf with crunchy topping. I sort of thought it looked lovely on the plate. It looked summery. So I thought to myself, yes, we're going to do a chicken meatloaf. Did you notice that we haven't really got anything sort of sweet today, really? But that doesn't matter. Plenty of time for that. 2 teaspoons of olive oil, 1 onion finely chopped, 1 carrot finely diced, 2 sticks of celery finely diced, 500 grams of chicken mince, 30 grams of spinach roughly chopped, 1 egg whisked, 3 slices of whole grain sandwich bread cut into cubes, and 15 grams of butter melted and cooled. Okay, so that's your ingredients. Now we're going to preheat the oven to 200 degrees Celsius, lightly grease a loaf tin, you know, sort of the regulation size loaf tin. Heat oil in a non-stick frying pan over a medium heat. Add the onion, carrot and celery. Cook stirring for 8 to 10 minutes or until tender. Remove from the heat and place in a large bowl and allow that to cool. Now, add the mince, the chicken mince, spinach, egg and 1/3 of the bread to the cooled vegetable mixture. That's the cubed bread. Combine well for best results, they tell me. Use your hands, you know, for squashing it together. You can do that with nice, clean hands. Spoon into the prepared loaf tin and just smooth over the top. This is nice and simple. Now, the other bread that you've got left, you combine with the butter in a bowl and spoon over the top of the loaf and lightly press it into the meat, you know, just sort of put your hands down so that it's sort of not going to roll around on the top, stick it into the meat, and bake for 35 to 40 minutes or until the meat is cooked through. Stand for 5 minutes before removing from the pan. And look, this is lovely with salad, and it's sort of got that sort of yellowy look, so green vegetables like broccoli and beans will look lovely next to it. Now, if you want to do the gluten-free option, all you're doing really is changing your bread, basically. So this is, you know, a quite good one for, you know, the gluten-free. You can just put that gluten-free bread on the top and it becomes, you know, edible for those that are intolerant, or leave it out altogether. But looks lovely, and I know I'm going to show Catherine, but, you know, the chicken's not going to appeal, but it looks nice. It looks nice.
Yeah, it is a good colour.
And it does look summery. It's very like looking forward to summer days.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
which we're getting at the moment. We're loving it.
I know. It's lovely, isn't it? Yeah, very nice. Everybody walking around with short sleeves and looking very summery, and Catherine looking lovely in green. So this one here, it's probably similar to the one I gave you in the first half, but slightly different, but it's a salad anyway. So it's a sweet and sour spiced vegetable salad. Now, this we're using basically zucchini. So we've got 3 small zucchini sliced, 3 small yellow zucchini or scallopinos. I think they're the round ones.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yellow.
Yeah.
I think, pretty sure they are. And you can either use those or you can get yellow zucchinis as well. And you're slicing those. 1 red pepper sliced, 1 yellow pepper sliced, 1 small cauliflower broken into florets and blanched in boiling water for just 2 minutes. So put them in, bring it to the boil, that's it, 2 minutes. Take them out, put them in a, you know, sieve. 1 small red onion finely sliced, and 1 handful, small handful of sugar snap peas in the pot. I haven't seen those in the supermarket yet.
No,
must be out.
Must be soon.
But, you know, you don't have to. But, you know, leave this recipe for when they do come out, if you like. Now, that There's a marinade to this, so I'll just give you that. It's red wine vinegar. I thought it was red wine, but anyway, red wine vinegar.
Just getting excited, people.
Yeah, I'm getting excited. Yes, I've got red wine vinegar actually in my cupboard. Half a cup of sugar, quarter of a cup of olive oil, half a teaspoon of salt, 1 to 2 cloves of garlic crushed, and 2 tablespoons of grainy mustard. Okay, so that's your marinade. Now, we're placing all the vegetables above in a large plastic or ceramic container with a tight-fitting lid. There's a reason for that. In a saucepan, combine the vinegar, sugar, oil, salt, garlic, and mustard, and bring to the boil. Now, you're pouring that mixture over the vegetables. Place the lid on the container and make sure it is sort of like pretty well, you know, airtight or good fitting. And then turn it upside down so that the vegetables are well coated. Now, I know you could probably stir them, but, you know, just give it a bit of a tip, 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 tip like that so that it's actually covering all those vegetables and it sort of coats it. And when it's when you've done it, leave it for at least 6 hours, but you can leave it longer. So 6 hours if you make it in the morning and you want to serve it at night, that's fine. If you want to serve it the next day, make it at night and let it sort of, marinate in that mixture. And then drain and serve when you're ready, and then put in some chopped herbs, and that's like parsley, chives, or any other herbs that you might have in your garden, and serve. Sounds absolutely lovely.
It does sound really nice.
The marinade. What could else? Could you use that marinade for tofu, couldn't you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yep. So a lovely marinade there, and I'm sure this recipe with the only thing that's cooked in there really is, or just sort, you know, sort of really barely blanched, is the cauliflower.
Yeah.
So that should be really nice. It should be crunchy.
Yeah, it would be still crunchy, wouldn't it?
It should be crunchy.
Yeah.
If you're leaving it in the fridge for that long, and it should be beautiful.
Yeah.
The flavour going right through all those vegetables.
Yum.
Absolutely.
I'm craving all these vegetables now, this time of year.
It's getting good. I've still got a bit of celery in the garden. It's looking a bit, you know, it's going down. It's looking a bit sad, but I'm all enthusiastic about planting some more veggies and stuff in the garden.
Yeah, it's good.
I emptied out some big pots that had some really untidy plants in them, untidy grasses, and I thought to myself, no, I don't need those. Let's put something productive in them. So that's what I've done.
Nice.
Yeah, and going to put some tomatoes. Lettuces were good, so I might plant some more lettuces.
Yep.
And get those going in the pots, and I think they'll be great.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah. And a passion fruit if I'm not out of season now. I want to plant a passion fruit.
Okay.
Yeah. So
up a wall or something.
Yeah, I've got a netting up in one part of my raised gardens.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, that's good for a passion fruit. So that's going to be me.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah. So it's going to be a busy time.
Well, a nice mixture there again, but I do love all these salads and the marinades that you've given us as well, and those great tips for gluten-free.
Yes, and I sent you a picture of the previous recipe that we had with that scone base.
The scone base, yeah. I will post that.
That was very, very good, I must admit.
Mm.
And lots of cheese on top, but it worked out beautiful. Just made. Oh, this is what I wanted to tell the listeners, that I actually made the scone base with 2 cups of self-raising flour, just to put it out there, because it was perfect for a pizza, a perfect honour. I've got a, you know, sort of pizza plate, and it's a reasonable size one. And 2 cups of flour, 1/2 cup of cream, and 1/2 cup of lemonade, and some, I didn't actually measure the cheese. I never really measure cheese because I just grated the cheese, and I thought, oh, yes, that looks about enough, and mixed it together. And then put it on a greased pizza plate, and I did sort of flour my hands, because you have to with scone dough. And I sort of rolled it out to a point, and then just lifted it and put it on the scone base. And that was perfect for a reasonable size pizza that you would probably buy from a pizza place. And that scone base was perfect.
Wow.
Absolutely perfect. And a couple of potatoes, like we said, to do in the normal way, and mash them with 1 teaspoon of cream and 1 teaspoon of butter, stuck with the rules. And that was great too. And that sort of spread over the cooled base as well. You've got to be a bit careful because, you know, lift off. and the potatoes should really be warm. I noticed in the recipe that it said to leave it, you know, till it was cold. But for me, it spread better when it was warm. Just little things that when you're reading these online or, you know, on our radio station.
When you're playing them back.
That's right. Yeah, exactly. And basically, you know, I sort of thought, warm potatoes probably better for mixing on top of that.
Okay.
And then, of course, you're doing your sauce with your spinach in it. It was lovely and lots of cheese on top. Beautiful. You'll see the picture. I had it with wedges and a little salad. Really nice for a quick, it was a quick tea actually before the league, which we lost, but never mind.
Seems like we lost a lot of things. Anyway, we'll move on from the rugby of all sorts.
Yes, exactly. So I think we're just about done, Catherine. I'm
yeah,
sorry.
Good. Okay, yeah, that's us fine. Today. I'm hungry again. So job done.
Yeah, job done. Yeah.
See you next time.
Yeah, okay, bye.
This program was made with assistance from New Zealand On Air for radio broadcast and through the accessmedia.nz website. Thank you, New Zealand On Air.